And that's the point of today's worship. No man is an island. You know, we're talking this month, we're finishing up our series today on truth. We call it truth. Talking about what's truth?
What is true in life? What are the truths that we can count on? We talked first week about Jesus Christ being the center and central to everything that we do. And he really is what matters, not denominations, not theologies, not worship styles, not any of that. But Jesus Christ is what matters above all else. What we talked about that about the notion of the fact that if God is good and Jesus is central, wouldn't God give us a way to know him? And he has through his word. Last week we talked about the fact that we all need him. These are truths. Well, today we're going to talk about something else. Today we're talking about family. Come on, family. I was talking with a friend of mine the other day about churches and serving in churches and preaching, and we were laughing because this friend of mine just moved from, he grew up in the coast, and then his first church was in Natchez, and then he went to heaven before he died and moved to Oxford. And he was talking about how different each place he lived in was. I said, I get it, because my joke is, when I've moved in ministry, I haven't moved from, like, a church. I've been running out of an entire region, you know. One of the things that you might pedal is so many of the pastors here in pedal are from here, or have served here, or have spouses here. We're not from here, so it's been very interesting for us to learn pedal. I still get lost sometimes. I mean, that crazy? I've been here 3 years, 4 years. I still get lost sometimes trying to find somewhere here. And I was telling him, you know, my first church was, I served in the Jackson area for 2 years as a youth pastor. For a year in Pelahatchie and a year in Raymond. From there, we went to the Delta. From there, Philadelphia. From there, Ripley. And now, here. And my joke is, if I ever have to preach on the coast, it would be like state bingo. I'll hit all the parts of the state. But it's an issue. My mom, when she moved me to the Delta, I didn't choose to go to the Delta. I was sent there. And so my mama tells the story of when they moved me to Cleveland, a little town called Boyle. If any of y'all are from the Delta or know the Delta, Boyle is a little community outside of Cleveland. Boyle is to Cleveland, as Runnels Town is to Pell. I mean, that's kind of the best way I can describe it. Moved me up there. I didn't know a soul in North Jackson. And I went to MC, and I didn't know a soul north of Jackson, Mississippi. And I served these three little churches. One of my smallest church had, well, my biggest church was Lena, it had 22 people. My smallest church was Lena, it had 5. And I was there for 5 years, as long as I've been anywhere in ministry with those 5 churches. My mom tells a story when they moved me up there. The church didn't have parsonage because, well, they had parsonage, but they hadn't written it out. They were so small, they couldn't survive on our offerings. So they had to rent out the parsonage to make a little extra money. So they had to actually rent out a little apartment for me out of a cottage. I literally was, I'm not making this up, I was, the little apartment I was in, rice paddy, soybeans. And rice paddy is another word for the Delta, called Holly Inch Moccasins. There were moccasins everywhere. Oh my goodness, my house was like a mag of moccasins. And so Mama tells the story of them taking me up there. I didn't have much. I was fresh out of college, starting seminary, and I had some books. I had a bed, a TV. Mom said they took me up there and dropped me off. She said, actually, Daddy, I cried the whole way home saying, I left my baby in the Delta. And I knew nobody there. Nobody. How long after I was ready to date, not long after I went up there, and we got married about 2 years into it. And two things happened, not knowing anybody up there. First thing happened is this. Whenever Holly and I were dating, the churches became our family. When Holly came to stay to see me, she stayed with Don, Senator Cole. They opened up their home to her when we were dating, and she'd come see me because she was down in Hattiesburg. I was an adult. We said we would do our very best to actually physically see each other once a month. And so she would drive up to see her, and I'd drive down here, and she drove up there, and she'd stay with some men, and she'd stay in the house. And they became family. They became family to us. And the other thing that happened was when we got married, we were 4.5 hours away from family. Guess what?
We got in an argument.
We couldn't run home. Because home was 4.5 hours away. So we had to put up with each other. And that's when, we've always been dear friends, but that's probably when we became my best friend. Because we were in the middle of a rice paddy, not going to leave another soul out there. We had no choice but to lean on each other and trust in each other and become each other's best friend. So at that point, she became my best friend. And my church became my family.
From there,
we moved to Philadelphia. We actually moved. Funny story. I moved without her because she was 8.5 months pregnant. And the doctor said, you can't move because you're 8.5 months pregnant. So I had to move out on a certain day, move to the new church on a certain day. So we pulled out of Cleveland. Dropped her off at a friend of ours' house in Louisville, Mississippi, if that means anything. Dropped her off there, kissed her on the face, and went to Philadelphia. You know, left her with some friends. They were my family. And that first Friday, she calls me when we moved to Philadelphia. She says, hey, babe, I'm in labor. If you want to make it, you better bring the baby. You better come now. So I'm looking, I'm scanning the crowd for any cops this morning. I made really good time going from Philadelphia to Cleveland. To make it there for Sarah's birth. And so we spent one night there in the Delta together. Sarah was born. She spent her first night in the Delta, and then she left. And we moved to Philadelphia. And Philadelphia was closer to home, but it was still 3.5 hours from family. We still had no family around there. But we had a church. We had a church family. A little thing called Katrina happened. Don't know if y'all heard of it. It was a storm that did a little bit of damage across the world. Sarah had just moved from drinking formula to drinking whole milk when Katrina happened. And Katrina knocked down all the power to our cartridge and knocked down the refrigerator we had. We had no power. She'd gone from formula to milk. Well, guess what? I now had no way to do. With no refrigerator and no access to anywhere to go, how am I going to feed my child? We had no milk. We had no way to get milk. If we had a way to get milk, we couldn't kept it cold because we had no power. Well, so looking back, it wasn't as big a deal as I thought it was. But at the time, I was thinking, how am I going to feed my child? What am I going to do? How am I going to get my child something to eat? I was overwhelmed. I was terrified. No, there's your first child. Your first child will get a fever. You go to the ER. Your second child, as long as the blood's not gushing from their head, you put a band-aid on it. You know, this is the first child. I'm terrified. And some members of ours that got powerful, we did, came to our house and said, do you have to say anything? And said, no. Holly and Sarah from our house and stay. And we're going to take care of them. We had no family, but we had family because we had church. From there, we moved to Ripley. And Ripley was 6 hours from family. It's like we were getting further and further and further away from family. And that was hard. Because family was 5.5 hours, 6 hours away. You ever had to drive more than 5 minutes with 2 children under 5 years old in your car? Family was 6 hours away. And what was hard was like grandparents' breakfast at school. Because there was no way grandparents could be there. It just wasn't possible. So Bill and Sarah Baker became our adopted grandparents. And when Sarah Thomas had something happen at school, they needed grandparents there. Bill and Sarah were the grandparents. They went to breakfast. They went to events. They became their family. You know, we're 2.5 hours from family here now, but we're still not right next to them. I think sometimes in life, one of our struggles with church is that we want it to be more than an event. You know? Church is an event. It's something we do on Sundays. It's something we do the old joke used to be, if you love Jesus, you go to church on Sunday morning. If you really love Jesus, you go on Sunday nights. And if you don't like head or heads love Jesus, you go on Wednesday nights. And like, if you're just like a crazy person, you go to Sunday school. I mean, that was the old joke. So to like be like super crazy about Jesus, which you gave him 4 hours a week, basically. And I think we struggle sometimes with our faith feeling ineffective. Because church, family, faith, it's an event. And it's something we go to. You know, it's an event on our Sundays. We hope it's good. We hope we're going to get something out of it. We hope it's good. You know, we hope we grow and all that. We hope we're challenged. And then maybe it was a night to go to youth worship, and or maybe for the adults, or a small group, you know, we find another place. But it's a mess. And so the events are easy to miss. You know? It's easy to miss an event. You get busy, you get tired, you get bored. And you miss it. It happens. Gosh, yeah. I joked when I went to college, the first 6 months of my college experience, I realized that my mom wasn't going to go to church, so I skipped the first 6 months of my church while I was in college, because I wanted to. I was in college, I could sleep late. I never had to sleep late before.
So you can miss an event.
But something happened, funny happened when I did that. I missed an event. But I found myself missing family. This matters.
Not this event. I
don't want you to hear that I'm saying, the event of worship doesn't matter. Of course, worship matters. People of God are called to worship. But the stuff that we put so much emphasis upon in church don't matter. Like, membership. I don't push membership here. I don't. Like, that said, I would love to have an in-depth conversation with you if you'd like to know more about joining membership, joining my church. I'd love to talk to you, how to duck you, how to do it, what it means. But the reason why membership, I don't push it, because the typical stat is 30-40% of people that are members of the church. I mean, you generally figure out, if you want to do a ballpark guess of church's average attendance, you find a membership, you take a third of that, you do what the average attendance is. So I don't worry about membership, I worry about faithfulness. I think you'd be faithful and not a member, but a member would never show up. So that doesn't, what matters is this. I need you. I need you. You matter to me. You do. So when you're not part of my life, I'm lessened. And when we're not part of each other's life, we're lessened. And so what we've done is how we've sold this to you in church is this. We said, hey, come be part of small group. You're part of small group, man, you'll grow and you'll get your faith will be alive and you'll be complete and it'll be great. No, maybe not. You may hate your teacher. You may despise the folks in your small group. But it's still important. We say, go to ministry, because if you go to ministry, you'll see how they live, and you'll understand their life, and you'll come back changed and challenged and all that. And no, you may not. You may go to ministry, and it might not change you a bit. It might not change anything about your life. You may get down there and get bitten by something and have your head rolled like a pine. Possible. We've sold these things to you like, hey, do this, and you'll feel good about yourself. Well, sometimes you do it and you don't. It's hard being in a relationship. It's hard. Think about family. How much do you love your family? Seriously. Parents, how much do you love your kids? Kids, how much do you love your parents some of the times? Think about how much you love those people closest to you. How much you love them. And think about how much you know the thought goes out of your head sometimes. I mean, let's be honest. The people you are closest to are the people sometimes you want to strangle the most. Is that true? And you don't associate with them because you like them sometimes. You associate with them because they're family. Because it's what you do. Because you're blood. Because you're there for each other. Because you care for each other. Because you matter. And so, we aren't part of this community. in your life will go wrong. And you're going to feel like it's pointless and wasted. And that simply isn't true. This matters. We need this. We have to have this. And here's the thing. When you look at creation, if you really want to understand humanity,
look at the first three chapters of the Bible. Look at Genesis 1, 2, and 3. You're going to see so much. What you're going to see first is this. You're going to see the fact that God made Adam, and I'm paraphrasing here, that all bless his heart. He's alone. That ain't good for him. It's not good for him to be alone.
So it was the very first thing God did for humanity. He made community. He made somebody for Adam to love, somebody to love Adam. By the way, you go and preach to them. The first institution that God made wasn't the church, it was the family. Husbands, your most important job in life is to be the husband and father of your children, need your wife needs wives. Both your most important job in life is to be the wife and mother that your children and family needs. That's your most important job. Everything else fades. That's your most important job. So God made this. The Bible says this. He says in Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make them in our image. So in other words, God made us in his image. And I don't want to get all crazy deep on you, but basically, God is Trinity. God's a God that is three in one. So when God said, let us make them in our image, God said, let us make them for relationship. I'm going to make them like me. I'm going to make them like who I am. And who I am is a triune God, a God that is three in one. So when I'm making them like me, I'm making them for relationships. I'm making them for community. I'm making them for this right here. That's what I'm making them for, is each other. No man is an island. There aren't lone rangers. We can't do it. So he made them like, he made us like them. He made us in his image for relationships. He made us for each other.
But then we fast forward to Genesis 3, where this happens. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the other beasts of the field.
The Lord God had made. They said to the woman, did God actually say you shall not eat from the tree of the garden? No one said to the serpent, you may not eat the fruit of the tree of the garden. But God said, you shall not eat the fruit of the tree that's in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you're not sure to die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. And you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So the woman saw the tree was good for food, and it was a delight to the eyes. The tree was desired to make her wise. She took of its fruit and ate. And she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. And the eyes were opened. And they knew they were naked. By the way, real quick, I don't know if this is actually in the Hebrew. There's a difference between being naked and being naked. Naked means you're not wearing clothes. Naked means you're not wearing clothes, you go to something. So you can need to me, I need to tell that joke to my daughter work. And say, my preacher told that joke while reading the Bible at church yesterday. And they sewed fig leaves together and made for themselves loincloths. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. The man and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. The Lord God called the man and said to him, where are you? He said, I heard the sound of you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. So God made us for a relationship. God made us to walk with him in the cool of the day. God made us for each other. God made Adam for each other, made us for each other, made us for him. Then sin enters into the picture. And what happens? What is our first move? We hide from God. The very first thing we do is we hear God come and we hide. So we're made for relationships. We're made for this. We find purpose in this. We find strength in this. We find hope in this. This is what we're made for. And yet, when sin enters, what is the very thing sin does? It drives us from relationships. Y'all, you know you need this. You know you find purpose in this. You find strength in this. Like, this matters. This does. The moments in my life that resonate, the moments in my life that mean something, are the moments when I'm with you. The moments that you're there. You are my family. your pastor. You know why? Because I love you. And when you're not part of me, it lessens me. When you're not part of my life, it lessens me. I'm diminished because I need you. And you need me too. That's all God needs. That's bigger than church membership. It's bigger than average. It's bigger than worship attendance. That's community. But yet what happened here is they were made for this, sin entered in, and they hid. You, everything in you is going to drive you from other people. Everything. The devil and his angels, his fallen angels, are going to do everything in their power to drive you from each other. The devil is going to attempt to destroy every relationship in your life. Every relationship in your life, the devil is going to go after. Every one of them. All of them. Your marriage, your kids, your family, your church, your small group, your friendship, your co-workers, everything. He wants to wreak havoc upon the best thing God gave us, and that was relationships. That is God's greatest gift besides himself. And the devil wants to destroy it. He wants to destroy it with our pride and our greed and our doubt and our fears and all of this stuff. He wants to isolate us and pull us apart. I say, man, that's really not the trouble. What do you like? Where are you going to go? He's going to chase his tail for 45 minutes. That's about perfect doing that. Another time I hurt your feelings. Another time I remain to you. Why don't you forget them? Watch. Tell me if it's not true. Every relationship that means something to you, there's going to be a voice in the back of your head trying to destroy you. There's going to be a voice in the back of your head. It's going to seek to destroy everything that's good. Every relationship that's good. Every event that's good. Because that's what he does. That's what the devil attacks us. He wants to destroy that.
See, all that matters in life, life's not complicated, it's just hard. Hey, Randy talks about finances. If finances aren't complicated, it's hard to do. Man, ask Jesus, he's a good teacher. What must I do to inherit the kingdom of heaven?
He said, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Y'all, that's the gospel. You've got to love God with all that you are and love your neighbor with all that you are. That's the relational element we're made for. That's it. And the devil wants to destroy it. I want something that's true in my life, y'all. I don't want to play games with the amount of time that God has kept me on the earth. Whether it be an additional 50 years or whether he calls me home tomorrow. With every moment that God has given me, I want it to be worth something. I don't want to play games, y'all. I don't. I want to live for something bigger than me. I want to be part of something better than me. I don't want you to find happiness in your life, y'all. Happiness is so fleeting. Happiness is so temporal. I was almost unhappy when Memphis almost beat Ole Miss last night. I mean, I'm happy on whether or not they read about this kind of Starbucks. I mean, I'm happy on things that are trivial. Where our happiness, so often our life, we find identity based on things that don't matter, that really aren't important, that are eternal, that don't amount to real things in the end. I saw this great little analogy of the day just a podcast of the day about the fact that in your wallet or in your money clip, you probably got some dollars right now, right? What are dollars? They're a piece of paper. How crazy is it that we spend our lives trying to collect paper? The Lord always that money has any value is because of all the greed it has value. And that's, I mean, I want to blow your mind and make you wonder if it's going to be anarchist or anything. But the only reason we collect this paper is because we say it has value. We spend our lives collecting paper. We orient our dreams around paper. That's all it is. Yeah, there are people in front of us that are made in God's image that we ignore. Yet we set our hearts after paper. Like, I think that's why the Bible it says in terms of the streets made of gold. I think the Bible says streets made of gold, so I'm going to go with that. But I think the reason why the Bible says made of gold is trying to see something bigger than that. What's the most important thing in life to most people? Or what is the most valuable thing in life to most people? Let's go with the gold. Is, go watch the news. Sell what you have, buy gold. To say the streets made of gold in the Bible, it isn't just talking about the streets made from the hill, which I believe they are, but it says something bigger. The most valuable thing you can think of on this earth in heaven is asphalt. It's what apples poop on. Think about their context. What animals they own, cows and horses, pigs, they might pig too. That's not about cows. This is cows. They didn't like cows. I'm not a state fan, I'm not good with animals. When the Bible says that, it means that the most valuable thing on the earth is simply the asphalt in it. We spend our lives chasing paper going. All that matters is this.
Now, we as a church have sold it to you wrong. We've told you to do it because it makes you feel good.
That makes you feel good. Now, it might. You may feel good about it. That's not the reason why you do it. You do it because we need it. You do it because we're waiting for it. You do it because we need each other. And I can tell you all, I would not be here standing before you if it weren't for my church family. I wouldn't be here.
Because my church family nurtured me when I was a hyper, overactive, overindulgent, stupid, arrogant kid that ate a bunch of bullies.
They got a bunch of bullies, deservedly so. They loved me. They cared for me. They taught me. I want your faith to be based on more than an event, a weekly event. As important as this weekly event is, it's not the point. The point is us worshiping Him. That's what we're made for. That's truth. I need you. You need me. We need each other. And when you're not here, I'm listening. When you are part of my life, I miss you because I'm lessened. I need you. You need me. We need each other. And if we can break down these walls of fear and doubt and pride and shame and guilt and lust and greed and all these walls that divide us and actually focus on walking together with deep towards Jesus with each other, it'll change our lives. It'll give us something to hold on to. It'll give us something to cling to. It'll give us a purpose, not happiness, but a purpose. So many of us want a purpose, something to accomplish. Think about when do you sleep the best at night? The days you watch TV all day and get barnage? Those are the days, my pain. But the days you accomplish something. You want purpose. God's given us purpose. He's given us family. He's given us each other. He has not made us to be ours. He's not made us to be alone. And if you want to find purpose, if you want to find your place, we're going to find it with each other. I believe that.